Praise be to God. He's the author of who we are. He's our creator. He's our rock. He's our salvation. He's so much. And for that, let's give thanks to him right now. God, we thank you for your love and your kindness and for being so great and being so powerful and being so awesome. Father, we thank you for your awesome power that has been displayed in various ways throughout the ages. And Father, we don't care how you choose to show your power. We just continue to pray that you will continue to show your power in our midst. And Father, not that you're not displaying your power right now as we speak right now. God, help us to gain a greater awareness of how awesome you are, how awesome your power is. Father, thank you for being our God and letting us be your people for this gathering and this fellowship of people. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. How many people brought their Bibles? Let's see. Hold them up. Let me see. Hold them up. All right. Yeah, we got some big ones. Got some little daggers going on. I'm cool with the dagger Bible. The little ones. Hey, there you go. That's right. Pick them up. That's right. There you go. If you would, take that Bible you just held up and turn to Psalm 95. And I invite you to read with me. We'll try it this way. I'll read out loud and you read silently. Just, you know, got different versions out there. Won't sound like chaos. But I'll read Psalm 95. No author attached, no notes attached, just these words. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Back in about 1981, something significant happened in my lifetime. I grew up in Buffalo, New York, in a neighborhood that didn't have a lot to boast about. It's a pretty rough neighborhood, but near in our neighborhood, something historical began in 1981. I remember the year. They built a McDonald's. Now, listen though, it wasn't just any old plain old McDonald's though. It was one of those McDonald's with the play place. Gym. I mean, now it wasn't as big and elaborate as those ones they have now. Like it was really small. And I remember like the square on top of the slide being about big as this computer screen. And I remember, you know, getting up in the slide and feeling like, wow, it's really little in here. But listen, for me, 1981, I was about 7 years old. It was historical. We had a McDonald's in the neighborhood and it had a play place. Wow. I mean, I was ready to die and go to heaven. So anyway. That's not the gist of the story. I was in second grade, and there was this guy in the class. His name was Benjamin Staples, but we didn't call him Benjamin. We called him Benji. And Benji, his family was well known in our neighborhood. They were all good basketball players. I mean, if you go to the local park, it was all the Staples. I'm talking about the boys, the girls, they were all just lights out basketball players. And Benji, at the age of, you know, 7 years old, a second grader, was an incredible basketball player. Maybe not as good as Caleb, as I hear, but he was a good basketball. Okay. You were a little bit better than him. Okay. All right. There you go. But he was a good basketball player, and he was really, you know, just popular in class. I remember his birthday was coming up, and I remember him talking about he was going to have a birthday party. Guess where? At the McDonald's play place. So we were all in his class thinking, man, I wonder is he going to invite me? Because he was the stuff. You get invited to a Benji party, man, you are on the list. And guess what? I got an invitation. I got an invitation to Benji Staples' birthday party at the McDonald's Play Place. And man, we had a ball, man. I bought him a cool gift. It was, I remember this like it was yesterday. I bought him a Play Magic set. And guess what? The first present he opened was my present. And then he opened the rest of them. And then he was like, man, this magic set is cool. And then right there at the birthday party, and it came with like a little plastic cape, he put on a plastic cape and did a magic show for us. At Benji's birthday party, I was a guest. I was invited. I have to tell you, I felt really bad for those who didn't get an invitation in their hand that day. You know, when he was passing out the invitations, I mean, I was honored. You ever felt that way? You ever felt honored to be invited to a party? Have you been on the other side of that? You ever felt like, man, what'd I do to Benji? How come he invited me to his party? Some of you, I'm sure, here support President Bush and voted for President Bush, and he was elected president. How many of you here got an invitation to his inaugural parties? Anyone here get an invitation? If you didn't get an invitation, you know, hey, there are probably 280 million people who didn't get an invitation, and there's a few people who did get an invitation. Do you know how it's determined who gets an invitation or not? Status, money. If you got a whole lot of loot and you share a lot of that loot with the person you support, you'll probably get an invitation to the inaugural, you know, parties, which I hear cost a lot of money. How do you feel not being invited? I mean, you voted for him just like other people did. How come they get to share a glass of champagne with the president and you get to watch it on television? Invitation. Let's be honest. The idea of being invited to something that's special, that's something that you desire to be a part of, the idea of getting an invitation to hand, woohoo, I'm going to this party, or I'm going to this gathering, or I'm going to this wedding. It makes you feel good. But equally, not being invited to some things that are special, things that you feel like you have just the right as the other person of being invited to, and how come they got invited and I didn't get invited? Let's just be honest. While we might not lose a lot of sleep over it, it bothers us. Invitation. There's a high sense of inadequacy when we feel like we've been left out or excluded. Let's be honest. If there's something out there that's just hot, we want to be a part of it. If we know that this is the ticket to have, this is the event to be a part of, whether you go to any other event that ever takes place for as long as you live, if you go to this event, if you can say, I was on the guest list, it makes you feel good. But when you don't get invited, sometimes it makes you say, what's wrong with me? Oh, the feeling. Oh, the feeling to know that you will be able to participate in something special. So as we enter a discussion about worship, church, let's start with this understanding. We all have been invited to something special. No one here is left out. No one here is excluded. We have all been invited to something special. Everyone here, everyone's name is on the guest list. We have not been excluded. And in fact, you don't need any special credentials. You don't need to have a lot of money or a lot of a high standing and status in society. You don't have to be a part of an elite group. The unnamed author of this Psalm 95 is emphatic about an invitation to worshipers to a special place, to a special time, to a special event. In fact, in verse 1, he or she declares, come let us sing for joy. Let us shout. In verse 2, he or she declares, let us come before him with thanksgiving. In verse 6, he or she declares, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. In verse 7, he is our God and we are his people. Do you take note of the plural that's employed there? Not let myself or I come, not let just you, but let us. This idea of being invited to the presence of God for worship is a communal event. It's an event meant for everyone. Everyone is included. You all have invitation in hand by the decree of the mighty God who says that you are allowed to come into my presence. We have been invited to a special place, a special event. And it's meant for everyone. Worship, at least in the context of many psalms, in this psalm in particular, is a community effort. The invitation is to assemble and worship God and to have in mind that as you worship, you are not alone in your worship. That you don't have the right to become an elitist or to be separated from everyone else, because we come into the presence of God as a community, plural, our, we. He is our God, not just your God. Give me some love too. No reason to feel slighted, because we have all been invited. And the question is, not if you're invited, but will you by faith accept the invitation? You are worthy. You are worthy to be a worshiper of God. I want you to implant that in your heart. You are worthy to be a worshiper of God. You know, Dr. Martin Luther King, whose birthday we'll be celebrating tomorrow. Most of you have the day off, and I hope you enjoy that day off. I hope you have a better understanding of who he was, things he said. But one of the things that Dr. Martin Luther King had to do in addition to fighting for civil rights and fighting for rights of African Americans and minorities, one of the things that he had to do as a preacher in an African American church, he had to continually convince African Americans who had been told all their lives that they were worthless, that they were nothing, that they were half a person, that they didn't have the same access to God as white people. One of the things that Dr. Martin Luther King had to do continually in his sermons and as he pastored that church was to convince the people there that they too, no matter how they looked, no matter how they have had a history of being slaved, being enslaved and being put down and stepped on, that they were worthy to be worshipers of God. Likewise, we as a people need to communicate to each other that no matter what stories lie in our closets, no matter what skeletons in our closets, no matter what is on the inside that most people don't see, we need to convince people, communicate to people that they too have been given an invitation to worship and that they are worthy to be a worshiper. We've all been invited, church, to a special event. And we are invited to participate in at least four activities as we look in Psalm 95. Number one, we have an invitation to express joy. Verse number one, come, let us sing for joy. To the Lord, let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. In worship to God, we express our joy in knowing God. It's a joy to be able to profess that we know God, that we know Jehovah, that we know Yahweh, that we know Elohim. We've been invited to express our joy of our faith in God, our rock. Because in our life, we don't have a lot of sturdy things that we would deem to be sturdy, oftentimes break, and we get depressed. We fall on our knees in bewilderment because we thought, hey, this was supposed to be one of our solid rocks. The only true solid rock the rock found in God. We express our joy in our salvation, knowing that without God, we're doomed. Knowing that without God, we are alone. Knowing without God, there is death. But because he has saved us, we have an opportunity. We've been invited to express our joy of this salvation. Our joy is expressed in singing and shouting. Yeah, we sing and we're comfortable with that, but man, we shouting, that's something that we were uncomfortable with back in Buffalo. I'll just call her Sister Brown because that's her name, but I won't tell you her first name. Sister Brown was just, I love Sister Brown. She was just such a character. She was a classically trained singer, operatic singer. But as the years gone, her skills kind of diminished, but she still sung with the volume of an opera singer. And so if you go to church at 41 Linwood and you hear an operatic soprano singing louder than everyone in the 15 churches on that road, it is Sister Brown. I love Sister Brown because she's not bashful or shameful about expressing her joy. So I remember we were having this New Year's Eve service and we were just up and people could get up and they could just share, you know, things that they were thankful for, you know, the past year and all those things. And Sister Brown got up and she said, you know, I just want you all to know that, you know, I just thank God for where I've been. And I really just don't know the words. So I just go. And she belted out a verse of some song that I could not hear because I was laughing so hard. Tears. You ever just have tears that just won't stop? Oh. And Sister Brown, if you ever gave her an opportunity to have the mic, if she was up in here and we said, we want someone to come down, and Sister Brown would come and she would grab the mic and she would share. Now, while I laugh at that, I'm really encouraged by that. I'm encouraged that she has. I was trying to find a way to play that off. There's no way to play that off except to say I almost fell. But anyway, wow. I'm encouraged by her bravery to step out and to sing and shout about her joy in God. And I'll tell you this, unfortunately, man, and many, many times she's done that, she's gotten in trouble for it. Church members go up to her and say, how dare you do that? This is not the place for that. It isn't. We're okay with singing and we're okay when it's all, you know, collective and we all sing together. Let me tell you this. If God puts a song in your heart, God puts a shout on your heart, you're not going to offend me by letting us know about it. We've got something to shout about, right, church? Don't we have something to shout about? Don't we have something to sing about? Don't we have something to express our joy about, huh? We've been invited, number two, to express thanksgiving. We sing, for all that you've done, I will thank you. Simply, we are invited to come together and show our gratitude to God. Thanks for our salvation. Thanks for our healing. Thanks for the assembly of his people. Thanks for his unconditional love. Thanks for, you fill in the blank. Thank you for health. Thank you for sustaining me. Thank you for feeding me. Thank you for forgiving me. You fill in the blank. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your compassion. You fill in the blank. Thank you for my spouse. Thank you for my kids. You fill in the blank. We've been invited to give our thanks. Our thanksgiving pours out again with our music and singing, but certainly we're not limited to that in our thanksgiving. Oftentimes our thanksgiving is displayed and portrayed when we pray. Probably the most often used words in our prayers is, God, we thank you. We've been invited by this worship leader, this psalmist. He or she says, let's come together and give thanksgiving. Verse 2, let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Number 3, we've been invited to recognize and proclaim God as the true God. There is a profession here that there are people who think that there are other gods. The worshiper is to say, okay, you have your other gods, but only our God is the true God. And so because he is the true God, he is great. Oh, I love that worship song. How great is our God? Because God is a true God, he is king. He's my king. And oh, I dearly love him. Because he is the true God, he is creator. His power is greater, for he has created everything. Our invitation to worship is an invitation to recognize. I don't know if any of you are hip-hop fans, but in the hip-hop world, one of the things that a lot of hip-hop artists, you know, often say is, yo, you better recognize. Huh? I'm all that in a bag of, you know, barbecue corn chips. You better recognize. Can't nobody rhyme like me. You better recognize. You know, even in the, you know, more probably violent world, you know, hey man, I'm from the streets. You come up in my face and pop some smash or some trash. You know what? You better recognize. You know, it's this way of the hip hop artists or the artists to say, listen, you may think you all at you. You may think you can come up against me. You may think you can beat me, but homeboy, homegirl, you better recognize. Well, we've been invited to recognize Jehovah. We've been invited to recognize an all-powerful God. Amen. We've been invited to recognize a God who's never lost a battle. Amen. We've been invited to recognize a God that could smash you like an ant. Amen. We've been invited to recognize, or in hip hop language, recognizzle for shizzle. A mizzle. And we've been invited, number 4, to kneel and bow down. Come, let us bow down in verse 6 and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. This physical act was one that signified reverence, homage, obedience, submission, brokenness. I hate kneeling for 2 reasons. I have bad knees, number 1, and it hurts. It's uncomfortable. I don't like kneeling, number 2, because it always seems to be that trendy thing that the holy people do. Oh, if you're spiritual, you kneel. No, it's a fad. It's uncomfortable, though. And as I speak about kneeling right now, it hurts. Kneeling or bowing down wasn't meant to feel good. It wasn't meant to bring comfort. Now, some of you who do your Pilates, whatever, may find this to be a very comfortable resting place. Not for me. Right now, the nerve endings in my knees are sending a neurological message to my brain saying, fool, are you crazy? Get up. It's burning. It hurts. It's uncomfortable. what I've come to learn and come to accept. That it's okay to take postures in worship. It's okay to signify to God through postures. Most of us, when we pray, what do? We bow our heads, don't we? There's something to the idea of bowing your head. It's a way of showing reverence and showing submission. Likewise, kneeling down, getting on your knees and bowing down signifies to God that I give up. I am broken. I do give you reverence. This is a posture that it's not only used in the context of worship. I mean, you go to some countries, and certainly in ancient times, bowing down was a way of showing proper respect to people who were in authority. You would bow down to the king. You would kneel, oftentimes kiss the feet of the person in authority. We've been invited to bow down and take this posture. And even if we don't do it in the physical sense, we're still invited to bow down and kneel and to give up. Church, I invite you right now, if you're able, to get on your knees. If it feels uncomfortable, good. It's supposed to be uncomfortable. I invite you on your knees. Sing this song. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand, just the sheep of His hand. We've been invited to surrender and to give up, to give to God all that we have in worship. Later on in this series, we'll read and preach and worship through Psalm 148. It says, praise you all ye people, praise you all ye heavens, praise you all ye, praise ye all. While that's a wonderful idea for us to repeat, for us to profess, for us to sing about, right at this very moment, don't think about everything else. Right now, receive God's invitation to give Him your individual, personal, all, everything. Everything, your life, your issues, your concerns, your joy, give Him your heart, give Him your soul, give Him your spirit, give Him your family, give Him your job, give it all to Him in worship. Surrender it all to Him in worship. So we've been invited to express our joy, express our thanksgiving. We've been invited to surrender and bow down and worship. We've been invited to express and proclaim that God is the true God. May this invitation in Psalm 95 draw us to become better worshipers. May this invitation in Psalm 95 draw us to become authentic worshipers. May this invitation in Psalm 95 draw us to be true worshipers. May this invitation in Psalm 95 draw us to be radical worshipers. You've been invited. No one is left out. I invite you at this time as we sing this next song of praise to stand, remain kneeling, take whatever posture you like. May it move you closer. May it move you closer to accepting God's invitation to be a worshiper of Him. If that means starting a new walk with the Lord, if that means restarting your walk with the Lord, if that means just receiving this simple invitation to worship, I pray that you would do that.